Good morning, BFFs. I hope that you are as happy as I am today. Love some good news, says the vegan loony. Well, good news. Good news. It's Good News Tuesday. Yeah, I'm excited about the good news. Can you believe that it was a hard day for good news? I couldn't find very much of it, actually. You know, I was trying really hard to find some good news, and it was difficult. It was difficult. Because everyone, it's all about the earthquake and Leonardo DiCaprio and the State of the Union, which maybe the State of the Union will be full of good news. I don't know. You know, the State of the Union address, it's typically when the president comes out and says, hey, look at all the great things that I'm doing. That's generally what happens. So I'm guessing that's what's going to happen this time. I don't imagine anything exciting happen. Every single time that there's something going on, that's always like, oh, yeah, well, the bad guys are the other guys are going to run out and they're going to walk out on the president. They're going to walk out. We're going to walk out. You're not going to walk out. No one ever walks out. They always say they're going to walk out. I remember when George W. Bush was president, everyone was like, we're going to walk out. These Democrats, we're going to walk out on them. And that's what they're saying about Joe Biden, too. They're like, the Republicans are like, we're going to storm out of here. Well, you stormed out of there. There's two people, at least, who were involved in the January 6th insurrection. So, I mean, you stormed the Capitol. You might as well walk out, storm out of the Capitol. You already did storm into the Capitol. What happened to Leo? I don't want to talk about it right now. I don't want to talk about Leonardo DiCaprio. Nothing happened to him. He's dating a young woman. He's dating a young woman, but people don't like that. So there, that's how that is. That's the end of the story. He's trending on Twitter. Basically, I read all of the newspapers today, and then I went to Veg News and Plant Based News, of course, trying to find some good vegan stuff. And then I went to Twitter, hoping that I would find something, some kind of good news. I did not find very much good news, but this is Good News Tuesday, so we're going to just have a shorter episode because we have Jess McKay. We're going to do the Future Force episode right after this at 9 a.m. PST. So maybe we'll just keep this one short, and then we'll go into, the other one. We'll go into the other show. We got two shows today. There's no reason why they both have to be an hour long. You know, sometimes we go an hour and a half long. Sometimes we do 2.5 hours long. We don't always have to go so long. Like, I love you guys. I want to spend as much time with you as possible, but we don't have to spend, there's no like predetermined amount of time. The promise is live every day, not live for 2 hours every day, isn't it? I really appreciate you guys all being here. How old is she? She's 19. She's 19. He is 48. That's the question. That's the facts of the situation. She's a model. He's a superstar. And she's 19 and he's 48. That's what's going on. I told you, my position is that there's a hard line. Don't cross it. I don't know. Like once you're an adult, you're an adult. If people are at 18 years old, allowed to go die for their country, then you're allowed to do whatever you want. When you're 18, that's what you're allowed to do. I think that the drinking age should be 18. I think everything should be. I think driving should be 18. Everything should be 18. 18 years old should be what you're a grown up now. Good luck. And I think that's kind of how it goes. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, who cares? I don't know. I don't know that I care. It's just, it was all over Twitter today. I don't actually care. You're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't matter to me what happens between two consenting adults. I don't care. Anyway, that's it. That's the whole thing. We're going to play the theme song and get to some good news. What do you say? Let's do it. All right. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go! Well, here's the deal. So, I don't know if you've heard, but there is a sport called bullfighting, and I am against it. You're against it. The whole world's against bullfighting, aren't they? I hope so. I hope the world's against bullfighting because it's a heinous, disgusting crime. And I just read about, it's interesting what happens when certain things go down. And it's interesting what happens when you plan on being fair for everybody and some truths are revealed. So I wanted to start off by saying, you know, we were in LA this weekend and a robot delivered our food. It's a cute little robot on four wheels. The robot has little eyes and it rolls down the sidewalk and it brings you your food. And it knows who you are, and it says, "Here's your food, you hungry bastard." And so then you can eat the food that the robot has for you. Now, I couldn't help but think, well, a long time ago, I found out that there were a lot of activists back in the day worried about curb cuts. And if you don't know what a curb cut is what is normal now, where at corners of intersections or between streets or whatever, there is a little ramp. It's a lot like a driveway. It's a little ramp that goes down so that pedestrians can cross, and also mostly disabled people don't have to step down that curb. Now, in Berkeley, California, they had the Americans with Disabilities activists who were really struggling because they were fighting for, well, the first meaningful legislations to protect disabled peoples. So they would literally go out at night with sledgehammers and break curbs, like destroy public property and break curbs and install their own ramps so that disabled people in wheelchairs could go up and down, you know, get around the city, which is amazing. Because if you don't have curb cuts and you're disabled, you're in a wheelchair or just like can't make the step, you're just fucked. You're just fucked. That's it. And my grandmother was in a wheelchair. I think most people at this point probably have known someone in a wheelchair. Imagine that there's no way to get around your city whatsoever. It's entirely impossible. Not like today, like in London, like they're not really good with it. New York, some of these old cities, not very good for disabled people. But what they've done, we passed legislation so that we have curb cuts. Now, what's interesting about this is, well, I think the whole thing is pretty interesting because it seems so foreign an idea that we wouldn't consider that there's a large population that can't get around the cities that we've built. It's so stupid to me. I mean, they need access just like everybody else. Like, the city is supposed to be for everyone. And if anything, a city is a testament to the goodwill that we have toward one another to keep each other safe. And it seems like that the municipalities were, you know, letting a huge population, they're letting them down. But what's interesting, furthermore, I should say, what's interesting about when we make accommodations for the disabled, we're able to, everyone ends up reaping the rewards. So consider, like, you push a button and the door opens. You push that handicap button, it's got the little handicap logo on it. You push it and the door opens. And that really helps you because you're carrying boxes. Now, because we cared about the disabled enough to have public buildings that have the button on there, wow, what a great thing. Or what about elevators? Elevators, if you are a business on the second floor, now you have to have an elevator in any new buildings. So that helps us all. Maybe you can't get up the stairs when you're old. It's not just for the disabled, it's for everyone, you see. Now, this little robot that delivers your food would be entirely impossible, which seems so futuristic today, this little robot that delivers your food. It would never have been possible had people not gone out as activists to destroy the curbs, to cut curbs so that disabled people can get in and out of, you know, cross an intersection, cross the street. Like, to cross the street, it seems like such a modest idea. Like, it's not that hard, right? Holy shit. It seems so easy. So all you have to do is care about everybody, and guess what? Everyone ends up making out. Everyone ends up benefiting. And so I think about that when it comes to veganism. When you care about animals, our species benefits too. And that's something that I know it sounds horrible when people like, what's in it for me? But what's in it for you? When you care about disabled people, you get a robot delivering your food. You get all sorts of cool. You get to be able to ride your bike. Your kids can ride their bikes because you don't have to get up and over the curb. you can bring a baby stroller up, you know, cross the street with your baby stroller without having to go it up. The old lady crossing the street doesn't need a Boy Scout anymore. The old lady could cross the street without the help of the Boy Scout because we cared about the disabled. Now, if we care about animals, we get to save the whole planet. We get to save the environment. We get to fight climate change. We get to help. Not end, but help end the exploitation of human beings in the workforce that is, the animal agricultural workforce and just agriculture workforce because of how many people are picking vegetables for animals to eat. So there's wide ranging benefits when you care about the most vulnerable. When you care about the most vulnerable, everyone ends up benefiting. That's just the way it is. And you could see it time and time again. So and especially with the disabled, because it wasn't that long ago, there were no curb cuts. Like my parents remember when there were no curb cuts. Like there were no, I remember like it was a big deal because they made curb cuts and then blind people had an issue because they couldn't tell if the curb cuts were for driveways or intersections. So they put those little bumps at the ones with intersections and little sound things so you can hear it. And guess what? When they did that, you had the little sound when you crossed the street or the vibrating, so you can hear it. And now you are safer. You are safer. The drivers are, everybody's safer because we cared for a second about blind people who are, you know, disabled. Or otherly able. I'm not the most PC person, but I hope that you'll forgive me calling people disabled. I know that there's probably a better term, but hopefully you will give me a little bit of leeway with that, a little bit. Give me the benefit of the doubt a little bit. Yes. Funny how caring about others helps everyone, Sky. Exactly. You care about others and everyone gets the benefit. It really is a remarkable thing. Now, I did want to bring up a new because it's Good News Tuesday. The world's first sanctuary for Spanish bulls who are rescued from bullfighting opens in Colombia. So in Colombia, they have the bullfighting, and in Spain and Portugal, I think maybe still in Mexico. I don't know. I think maybe in Mexico, but there was a surprising one that there's bullfighting in France still. Like, what the? How are they still fighting in France? I can't believe there's bullfighting in France. The French like to be this. They like to be this. Yeah, we're so ahead of the times. We are so French, and yet here we are. The French have the. France, I'm sure that it was like, yeah. So the practice still takes place in Spain, France, Portugal, and parts of Latin America. So what's interesting about this, so again, caring about animals, everyone makes out, right? So they just made bullfighting. They expect it to be illegal in Colombia. Finally, the first Latin American country, I think in Mexico, they still I bet you in Mexico they still do bullfighting, but in Colombia they're making it illegal. I think it needs to pass the House. They've already passed the other branches of their government, and so they're going to go ahead and make plans. So 180,000 bulls are killed in bullfights around the world, with many more injured in bull fiesta events. Okay, so there's tons of them who die, but don't forget, a lot of these bulls are a special breed, and they are bred and hurt and slaughtered. So 180,000 are killed in the bullfights, but there's an industry around it, right? There's all these spinoffs, but they want to keep the breed alive. They want to keep the breed going because, you know, there's a national pride around them. They really believe in this bull being like a talisman of manliness or something. So it's already been approved and still needs to be approved by the House, but they're still going. So what they're going to do is they're making this special breed with these horns. You know, you guys have seen this, these horny Spanish bulls. It's very peculiar and unique breed in the world, right? It's a Spanish fighting bull. It's a very unique bull. Anyway, so they're going to build this natural habitat. I mean, is it natural? Whatever. They're going to build a habitat, but they are opening it for ecotourism, and they're taking all of the people who work in that industry, and they're trying to, the ones who can't be trained to do other stuff, they're using those people, they're employing those people to take care of the bulls and to be part of the ecotourism thing. Now, of course, ecotourism sounds a little bit like a zoo, so I'm a little bit nervous about that, but I find that a better way to admire these animals. That's so you're not willing to give up the whole looking at these bulls and thinking of it as a national pride. Awesome. You know, I mean, okay. So you're not willing to give that up yet. All right. Well, you can go look at the bulls in a natural environment and go enjoy them, you know, and see them. And there's going to be people tending to them, and probably, let's face it, they're probably still breed some of them so that they can, you know, show them, or I don't know, show them off as part. Once there's money involved, we're not out of the woods yet, but not murdering them in front of people as, you know, for a laugh. I think that's a step in the right direction. I'm counting it as good news on Good News Tuesday. We don't have much good news. So I think this is pretty good. Look at these bad boys. They are pretty remarkable creatures, aren't they? You know? And they are more remarkable when they aren't bleeding from the face, mouth, about the ears, and from their backs. You know, that they stab them in the necks before the bullfighter ever really gets there, so that the bull can't do the movement of his neck, can't spring him up in the air. These bulls are usually, and don't forget all the festivals where they run the bulls through the town, like in Pamplona, and the people are making a spectacle of the bulls running through the streets. So, I mean, do I need to sell to you, VFFs, why bullfighting is a disgusting thing? I hope not. I trust you enough that I think that we're probably on the same page with this. Exiting the bullfighting business, the project aims to create professional and business alternatives for people who continue to depend on the bullfighting for income, but who want to take advantage of new opportunities in a post-bullfighting context. Here, they can continue working near the Spanish bulls that they love, but from a strictly conservation and protection-oriented perspective, which is kind of cool, because like, there's probably people out there that love raising the bulls and kind of are bummed out when they go see their pet bulls go get murdered in the fucking arena. And I was talking with Andy Atkinson on TikTok a couple days ago on one of his lives, and you know, he was talking about how there are for people with who just love the farming part of it, there's probably going to be plenty of opportunities for people who just love farming to still be able to do the parts of it that they love. And it's true that most of the people that I have known over the years who are farmers, they don't like it when the trucks come and take their cows. They like the money, but they actually love the whole, I got my silo, I feed my cows. They like all that stuff, you know, because it is bucolic, and there's something kind of romantic about the idea of feeding cows and raising them and being out there like you're a cowboy, you know. There's something romantic about that. And so they might be able to still be able to do that shit in a vegan world, you know, just minus all the slaughter. And there's not that many people who really want to do that. And so I think that it's interesting that these bulls, like, this is such a famous shot, like the Spanish bull, right, on the horizon. That's like in Spain, they actually put cardboard, you know, giant wooden bulls up on the, when you're in Spain, you'll see it like on the hills, they'll put a bull as like a symbol of Spain, you know. So it's all tied up with their culture. But it also speaks to this cultural relativism, like moral relativism, and cultural morality. And, you know, if anyone is guilty of it, it's the Spanish. And they're making steps, the Colombians are taking steps to abolish something that they have now recognized is a horrible crime. the killing of these bulls. Yeah. Yeah. See, they're saying that we can't just say it's banned and what we need are positive and safe alternatives for these animals. Yep. I love it. I think it's great. I'm not like totally sold that like it's all, this is the end of the story, but you know what? Why not have some good news? Can we have some good news out there? Do you like the good news? Don't see it. Well, I hope that world's great. I heard there was a massive earthquake in Turkey, over 2,000 dead. Yeah, I know, that's animals are it's Good News Tuesday, Vegan Stallion. We talked about the earthquake already and how hard it is to find good news today. It's a really hard day for good news. It's not a good day for good news this Tuesday. It's been really rough. Yeah, they cheat. Batman underoos are out of it. Yeah, exactly. Stupid, barbaric, antiquated traditions. Absolutely. Bullfighting is the worst reason ever to show off your flamboyant gay outfit with sparkles. Well, yeah, the gay outfits with sparkles. I don't really get it. What's funny is that the matador is always positioned as this, like, yeah, I'm a big man. And I do know that it does take skill to kill a bull, but that skill, what other use does it have? You take a sword and stick it through through an animal's shoulder blades. Doesn't seem like a translatable skill. So I think the matadors might be out of business, but all the people around the animals that actually care about bulls and want to feed them and do all and care about like the symbol of lo machismo and lo mexicano and lo español. I think that you could make a case that there's lots of work still to be done with these animals because you don't want them to go extinct as symbols of their heritage. You know, I find it really kind of sad that the California bear is extinct. I think it's really sad because Californians we used to be called Osos back in the old days because of what strong warriors Californians were. They called them Osos, the people. And Osos means bears. The mascot of UC Berkeley is the bear, the Golden Bears, and the mascot of UCLA is the Bruins, the baby Golden Bears. And those, they're extinct animals. Those animals are extinct because of hunting, because we've killed them all. And that's a goddamn shame. It's a goddamn shame, I think. They could probably get jobs teaching dance. They seem to be somewhat graceful. Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe they'll get jobs dancing or as like sartorial experts. Perhaps they'll become fashion influencers because of their sparkly capes. That could be a thing. What else will the matadors do? I guess the matadors could be like really good at some other sport. Like, can't we get robotic things out there that the person can stab? I mean, can't they? Maybe they're really good at stabbing some other. Like, there's no reason why that can't be turned into a robot or something. I don't know. There's got to be a technological thing where, you know, someone who's really good at stabbing an animal between the shoulder blades could do some other kind of sport. But dancing, you're probably right. Dancing. Or, you know, there's going to be that. I thought that what was interesting is this ecotourism angle, that because in the American context, the United States of America, not because this is Colombia is in South America, right? And so in the United States of America, we have a similar thing where we have like dude ranches and you could go out and live like a cowboy and the ranches aren't actually slaughtering the cattle anymore. They're just like tending the herd and like rich bankers and shit can go out there and play with the animals and stuff. I think my dad did that. Like they go out and they go on the dude ranch and they, you know, sit by the fire and play harmonica and shit like that and pretend to be cowboys. There's, you know, why not? Like I, as long as no one's getting hurt, I mean, it's still exploitative as far as the animals are concerned. So I have my reservations, but if that's what we have to live with, and we're not slaughtering animals anymore, or, you know, I don't know if you guys saw, like, you know, you've seen the pigs get castrated without anesthesia and all the rest, you know, and every male pig, every male cow has to get castrated, except for veal cows, I guess. Anyway, like, it's if we're not doing that shit, then maybe this ecotourism thing's a way to some middle ground, you know? And I think that from now on, when I hear somebody ask me about, well, if we all went vegan, all those cows would be extinct. It's like, no, they won't. We'll have ecotourism. People give out about bullfighting while eating flesh or drinking secretion. That's very true. There is something particular, vegan loony, there is something particularly disgusting about animal, at least in my eyes, about animal entertainment. I find it particularly disgusting because you don't even have the excuse of nourishment. I mean, let's face it, you and I, Graham, you know, we've been online enough to know that a lot of people truly believe that they're getting some nutrients from an animal, from eating the flesh and secretions, the flesh and fluids of animals. And if they believe that, at least they have that excuse in their mind. But what's the excuse using them, killing them for entertainment? For a laugh? For a laugh? For a fleeting moment of joy? A fleeting moment of ha 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 ha. That's what the animal's whole life is worth? There's something even more disgusting about that to me. To me. Let the matadors fight each other if they're so traditional to blood sports. Well, maybe. I don't know. I hope that doesn't become a thing, to be honest with you. Yeah. Ballroom dancing. Maybe that's just what happens. Exercise. You know what? I love ballroom. I remember in the 90s, swing dancing was a thing. I loved that shit. It was so much fun. Everyone gets all dressed up. The boys look great. The girls look great. Everyone looks good. They're all dressed up and the big band starts to play. Brian Setzer Orchestra starts up. I love it. You can jump, jive, and well. I went to go see Big Bad Voodoo Daddy a few months ago, I guess it's been a while, almost a year now. And they're really good. Yeah. Hey, their animals are here. Hey there, animals are here. Oh, well, great. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. All right, so nutrients. Thank you very much. Okay, so like I said, it's a slow day for good news, but I want to come on, baby. Let's do this. God damn it. Hold on 1 second. Technical difficulties. Just a moment. I have another piece of good news. Just a minute. Let's see if I can make this work. And Yahtzee. Great. All right. So, Veganuary breaks all records, and you should support plant-based news, apparently. What? I get this on plant-based news every time. It's so annoying. But every single time I'm on this site, like, don't I give you enough plant-based news? How do I get out of this? A little X. Okay, so more people than ever signed up to eat plant-based news diet in January. Isn't that great? Look at this. Try vegan. It's January. I'm really excited about this. And 80,000 more than last time. 700,000 people signed up. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, give it a go for a month. People talk shit on the Veganuary, but then they did a study saying that most people went vegan for Veganuary, plant-based for Veganuary. They went for the animals, and I thought that was fantastic. The majority, well, the largest minority of people who went vegan for Veganuary, they did so for the animals, not because of the plants, not because of the planet or the diet, but because of these guys, these big lumbering creatures, the cows. They did it for those guys. I think that's so great. You know, 80,000 more. Now, 80,000 sounds like a small number worldwide, but Jesus, that's just vegan. I didn't sign up for Veganuary. Did you guys sign up for Veganuary? I didn't sign up for Veganuary. Who knows, 700,000 people that wouldn't or otherwise gave it a chance. You know what I mean? Thank you, Vogon. I think it's great. No kill April. March away from animal abuse. I like it. I like that. March away. February, more vegans failing at being vegan than ever. Yeah, maybe. But you know what? You got to try, Race Lever. Race Lever, you got to do something. You got to at least get out there and try. I mean, that's always been what I've been, that's what I've been saying since the very beginning of this journey with us, with this vegan, of course, thing that we're doing together, is that get out there and try to make a difference. Try to make a difference. And when you care about others, as is evidenced as by the Americans with Disabilities Act and the attempts that we've made to make the world a better place for the disabled, we all benefit. We all benefit when we care about the most vulnerable. So isn't that great? You know, like maybe they only care once a month, but maybe the once a month, I don't know, slows down global warming long enough that we might be able to solve it with a technological, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to look at that. This is Good News Tuesday, vegan Vogon and Jean and Jean. And Jean, you never did the Veganuary? Me neither. I never done it. I never did the Veganuary thing. May the animals live. I like it. May the animals live. Maybe we should make those into t-shirts. March away. And could have a different shirt every. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I never did the Veganuary thing either, but I think it's great. And you got to try. You got to try. You did it? You signed up this year? That's really cool. Well, I know that a lot of vegans signed up this year because they want to be counted. You know, they want to be counted in this like Veganuary. It's almost like registering your vegan superpowers. It's the mutant registry from X-Men. All you vegans, let's sign a paper, huh? All of you, let's register. If a million people, I don't know. How many vegans do you guys think there are? Are there a million? Are there 10 million? The thing is, 1%, pretty good. If we get to 10%, we got a world-changing event here, guys. So, I mean, yeah. I think that I'm all for trying. Wait, I'm all for trying. I'm just telling you what the opposing side slant will be. Yeah, I know. I know, but I hear it all the time. And this is Good News Tuesday, so I'm trying to stay positive, buddy. And it's not easy. It's not easy, Race Lieber. I'm trying to stay positive up in here. You know? I'm just trying to make it right. It's a balancing act, says ethically based ex-omnivore. It's a balancing act, definitely. Animals are here with us. This is my biggest struggle. Yeah, it's true. It's true. All serious, Jean Valjean says all serious change has happened because of the work of small groups. Historical fact. Small groups become bigger groups and change the world. You're absolutely right. Minority opinion, when it comes to justice, the moral arc of the universe bends toward justice, Martin Luther King Jr. said. And I love that. I love that quote. It's African American History Month, so I feel like we should be quoting him more. My favorite, I love the vegans in the civil rights movement, like Angela Davis and Dick Gregory, Rosa Parks, Coretta Scott King. These are some of my heroes. So I really like that in February we get to talk about them more. Yeah, it's always good. Stay positive, bro. It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday. Exactly. It's almost like Veganuary. Tuesday, I just feel like I'm trying to be more positive. That's all. I feel like this is... There we go. I think that might be better. Do I look like more human now? I messed up with all my things. Rosa Parks, she was 100%. She was definitely vegetarian. I think she was vegan. A lot of people disagree with me on that. But it was a very long time ago, and the reports are differing. When she's quoted about animal rights, she sounds like a vegan, but a lot of people said that she followed a vegetarian diet. I don't know. It's but I know she was at least a vegetarian, but ethically, and you know, with time, things were different back then, the olden days. So you know. Animals are here for us. It's hard not to be emotional when you're speaking up for those individuals. Absolutely. You're absolutely right, guys. Yeah. Anyway, you know, this has been a really fun Good News Tuesday, and we have another event starting in about 30 minutes. It's called the Future Wars, and we're doing that with Jess McKay. Can't wait about that. We're going to talk about futurism and the future of veganism and all of that. Meanwhile, there's also going to be a protest starting on February 19th. We're doing February 19th. We're protesting against the feathers being used, all the birds that need to be killed in order to make Jim Henson's puppets. So we're going to go to Jim Henson Company under the Kermit the Frog, who's dressed like Charlie Chaplin, and we are going to protest with puppets. I can't wait because my puppet's going to be there too. If you guys haven't followed on TikTok, we're doing lots of puppet stuff on TikTok. Witchy actually came to the TikTok show. So if you guys want to subscribe on TikTok, that'd be cool. It's we're probably going to do more of that this week. And the other cool thing, here's if you would do me a giant favor, go to veganofcourse.etsy.com and just like the or follow. I think it's called follow or like the shop. It helps with the algorithm. I'm not even going to ask you to buy anything, but because Etsy kind of does that for us. I mean, great if you bought a carny mug or something like that. I of course would appreciate it very, very much. But truly, if you just want to support, click that follow. And what's in it for you? Well, when you go back to Etsy, it'll show more of the Vegan of Course shit so you can see what we're working on. I'm trying to do new designs every single day because I'm really into it. And it's become kind of another form of activism for me is making vegan t-shirts. Maybe it's a little lame to you, but it's really important to me. So if you would, if you find value in what we're doing here, go ahead and please hook us up with a like on that. It's etsy.com/veganofcourse or just veganofcourse.etsy.com. Either way, you can get there. It's very easy. It's funny. The number one search term for the shop right now is vegan, of course, which I think is funny because I don't know if it's people who watch this show or if it's people who are just Googling vegan, of course. Anyway, I think it's kind of funny. I appreciate you too, Jean. I appreciate you guys being here. And you don't do protests. I only do bro-tests. Bro-tests for the win. You know, it's funny. I really want to concentrate our channel a little bit more on like men's health issues and kind of more masculinity talk because I feel like the intellectual male who protects the vulnerable is not something that's represented in popular culture today. And instead, we get this kind of toxic shit a la Andrew Tate and Jordan Peterson, that type, Joe Rogan, and I don't like it. I think we need to talk more about male sexuality, masculinity, and what that means to be protectors of the most vulnerable in our society, because I think that that's the role that that real men take. I really do. Yeah, that's it. Hey, Sky, want to fashion me a wallet? Fuck yeah, I do. I'll tell you what. I'll try to make a wallet. Wallet for Vogon. Going in the... I'll see if I could do one. I'll see what I got. I'll find a vegan and ethically sourced wallet, and we'll try to do one. I love it. Good idea. Johnny Bravo dresses like me. Yeah. Oh, I do, but I appreciate you guys. Please head on over to the Etsy and just hit that heart button or whatever that is just to say that you like the shop. It'll help out a lot. And men's health is important, and it's okay to be it's okay for women to care about men. It's okay for men to care about women. I'm not saying that I want to turn this into like a He-Man woman haters club or a men's only a men's only thing. I appreciate women in a way that you know, this is 50% of the population. You know, my girlfriend was talking about how, okay, so since it's just us and we've only got a couple minutes left, we're talking about menstruation, right? Hold on, let me get this cow out of here. Let's get the cows out. They don't need to hear this. They don't need to hear what I'm about to talk about. So we're talking about how a lot of guys that are afraid of having sex during the menstruation cycle, during when a woman is having her menstrual period. And half of us were like, well, it's juicy down there anyway, just because during sex, just because the liquid changes color, what's the big deal? And I think that's a really interesting point, right? And then I said, well, you know, I never really care. Like, I find that the human body at any time, 50% of the population at any given time is bleeding. I don't think that that's a gross thing. That's just something part of life. That's just part of life. But if you find it gross, that's okay. You just need to be upfront, be open about it, and open-minded, and talk. You need to be talking about these things. Men are taught from a very young age just to not talk about anything, so that their intellects are stunted. They stay closed-minded like they were when they were 5 years old, because they're taught at a very, very young age not to talk about A, their feelings, but B, women, unless it's about like the worst things, like that's all they ever, that's what they're taught about. That's what they're taught by their dads and uncles. And then, but other than that, they don't talk about their feelings. They don't talk about their biology. They don't talk about a lot of things, their fears, their ambitions. They don't talk about those things. They don't talk about their weaknesses. And I really feel like talking helps a lot. And I want to do more of it. Yeah. The curse. Yeah. It was called a while back. It doesn't help. Exactly. It's ridiculous. Yeah. This guy Sperry's just dropped. Yes, this is why I'm talking like this now. Design a 2024 sexy vegan man calendar. I should do that. Except maybe I should do like just a manly man calendar. A mustachioed vegan men's calendar. Are there any pictures of Moby with a mustache? There must be. I think he did have a mustache for a while. Like, I just think that when you talk about manliness and masculinity, it's about protecting the most vulnerable, not exploiting them, not hurting them, or not denigrating them, not talking badly about them. Yeah. Anyway, I love you guys, and I hope that you'll stay with me on this journey. It never bothered me either, Sky. Plus, I find it funny how some guys find it gross but eat chickens' ovulations. Like, there's no way. That's a good point. Yeah, they find sex with women gross, but they find chicken ovulations great. There's another thing, like, you know, when you talk with women, they'll tell you all the stuff. They tell you all the stuff because women talk with other women. So if you ever want to know what's going on with women, you just talk to another woman and she'll tell you all the tea immediately. She'll tell you all the shit because they talk about it indiscriminately. They don't give a shit. They'll just talk and they're healthier for it. They live longer because they're talking about this shit. You know what's funny? If you want to know how much like Charlie's getting banged, ask Deborah. In fact, don't ask Deborah. Ask Deborah's friend, Susan. Ask Susan. She'll tell you how much Charlie's getting banged. Meanwhile, Charlie's talking about how much banging he's doing. And Deborah's over here saying, that ain't true. No. That ain't true. People lie. You want the truth. You just got to talk to the women. That's it. Anyway. I really appreciate you guys all being here. Let's see. For the calendar in August, Sky needs to be in a sequined thong hugging a giant watermelon with the vegan flag sticking out of it. Well, if I get to 1,000 subscribers, maybe. If I get to 1,000 Patreon subscribers at the minimum level, we'll do that. I'll be happy to wear a sequined thong hugging a giant watermelon with the vegan slag sticking out of it. There you go. I got to get my brain back. And I used to be a stripper, and you could have heard our locker room convos. Yeah. I worked in Vegas with showgirls and cocktail waitresses. Yeah. 100%. When I worked in Vegas, I had 500 employees under me. 400 of them were women. And let me tell you, they told me a lot of stuff. Yeah. Vegan rain frog is real. Okay, guys, I really do appreciate you. I have another show that I need to prepare for called The Future Wars, and that means I got to go now, unfortunately. But thank you so much for Good News Tuesday. It always cheers me up. I hope you're cheered up as well. I hope that you enjoy the vegan good news. And in about 15 minutes now, we're going to be on live again for The Future Wars. But I haven't even made the broadcast yet, so I got to go and make that. I do appreciate you so much. And I don't know what you're asking me right now, but if you have any more comments or anything else to say, please just head on over to the next broadcast. It'll be in about 15 minutes. I do, guys. Thank you, VFFs, illegitimi non carborundum. Thank you. And last thing, there is an email right here. Vegan Oka is Vegan, of course, California. Vegan OCCA, Vegan, of course, California. If you have any good news, you know, it was really hard yesterday and today to try and find any good news in the vegan world. I was hoping. I found some. So if you guys would help me throughout your week, or if you find any good news that you'd love to hear about on this show, hook me up. It's right here. It's right there. Go on the this guy right here, veganocca@gmail.com, and go ahead and send me some good news. Thanks, guys. Bye.